Hello, my friends. This is Bishop Campbell welcoming you again to a short meditation on the theme of living the Catholic life. Later this week, to be more precise, on Friday, October the 18th, we will be celebrating the feast of St. Luke. In our church's calendar, Luke is listed as an evangelist. And as you know, he was a friend and follower of St. Paul. And in fact, his gospel exemplifies a great deal of Paul's teaching and his missionary activity. But Luke is also known as a physician, a doctor. And Catholic medical professionals often celebrate this feast day with what they call a white mass, I think so called because it reflects the whiteness of their uniforms that they wear while practicing. And it is kind of a companion to the so-called red mass offered for lawyers and judges, and the blue mass offered for those first responders, the policemen, the firemen, the emergency crews. And I think that Luke, as a physician, allows us to realize Luke, as an evangelist's great interest in the many accounts in the life of Jesus of healing. But these accounts of healing at the touch or the word of Jesus are not simply corrections of an illness or an elimination of an infirmity, but they seem to be more clearly accounts of compassion and care. And we have to always remember that as human persons, we are an integral union of body and soul. What happens within our soul is going to affect our body, and what happens in our body is going to affect our soul and our whole well-being. And these accounts of healing in the Gospels are also accounts not only of restoration to health, but accounts of restoration of the whole human person, body and soul. How often does our Lord say to one who has asked him for a healing, "Arise and walk, your sins are forgiven"? That a healing takes place in both the heart and the soul, as well as in the body. And from the very beginning, the church has been involved in the concern and care for the sick and the dying. In fact, as I remember reading in an account of the sociological character of the early church, there was a mention of the fact that the first women's religious community was the so-called Order of Widows, who were dedicated to taking in orphans, caring for the sick, and especially going out every morning to look in the byways and in the fields for newborn children who had simply been abandoned by their families. They would take up these newborn infants who had been abandoned, nourish them, allow them to grow, and as they reached maturity, they asked them to make a simple choice. Will you join us as a Christian or not? And it's that sense of caring and concern that flows through all of the acts of healing in Jesus Christ and penetrates into the spirit of the church's concern for the care of the sick, the infirm, and the dying. They created hospitals. And we remember that the word hospital is also related very intimately to the term hospitality, that one of the first reasons for a hospital is to give care and concern and to surround that person who is ill with an environment of love and companionship. I think that the greatest need we will ever have of a loving community is on those occasions when we are suffering and ill, weak or vulnerable. And it is within those occasions that we come to seek relief, which is vital, but also understanding and compassion. And that term compassion has a profound meaning. It means the suffering with others. I'm always amazed that when I would visit the room of a child who was seriously ill, and there were his parents, his mother and father, and you could see on the faces of the parents a sense of a deep desire to take that pain from the child and to take it upon themselves. A true sense of compassion. And I think this is one of the most wonderful of human emotions. And it is, I think, what shoots through all of our efforts toward healing in using St. Luke then as an exemplar, as a physician, as an evangelist of the healing and compassion of Jesus Christ. We must also realize that as we express our concern and care for the sick and the ailing, the weak and the vulnerable, we too understand that we, on several occasions, might become ill, weak, or vulnerable. And in fact, even in our daily thanksgiving, for the healing care that we can have, everything in our life touches on a common reality of our natural death and how both to understand it and to prepare for it. For there will be a moment when all of the great wonders of our science and technology will fail us. But we remember those acts of healing and compassion and realize that on the last day, our Lord Jesus Christ will heal even the effects of death. We in our present time are blessed with wonderful medical practitioners and institutions, and the extraordinary discovery of life-sustaining medicines and procedures. It is important that we give thanks for these advances, even while we understand that there will be a time when they will no longer have the effect of sustaining us in this natural life. After all, even Lazarus, raised from the dead by Jesus, died again and is waiting for that resurrection of the body on the last day. But in remembering the great compassion of Jesus, giving thanks for all of the care and compassion and healing that is given to us, we ask ourselves, how do we give meaning to the sickness we endure and the suffering that comes our way? And how do we diminish the fear of death? And I think the answer is very clear. It is the theme of the Gospel of St. Luke, the physician. Remember the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the master healer and the victor over death, and commit ourselves to learn and to live the compassion that he himself